Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring us guidance, Father. And more knowledge of this, your word, until we can understand, Father, with a great understanding of how to walk according to your will and your way. And Father, let us always be within this word with our lives so that we can make heaven our home and not have our place made in hell. Now, Father, be with us here at this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be here in the 18th chapter of Matthew. This morning we went through 16 and 17. In 18 here, we're going to be dealing with several different discussions. And it's going to include the greatness. Who's the greatness? Temptation and sin. The lost sheep. Of forgiveness. These are things that we're going to be looking at here in this 18th chapter. The things that we all need to know and to understand, because our lives must have these things and the understanding within in order for us to be able to walk in the ways of Almighty God. Because you see, we are to walk our lives in accordance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't never make a mistake and think that you can't walk that way. Because we are told several times that we can and that we are to do so in order to make heaven our home. So as we get into this now, here in verse 1, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We won't know who the greatest now is. Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3 says, and verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, when this dispute over who is the greatest, it was settled by Jesus with the explanation that we was to be as a small child, and we are to be willing to forgive and be converted. And in being converted means a turning of our lives, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that is also being used today in a contradictory way against the word of God, of us being turned like that. That we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We have. But you see, that is in the past. When we become that child of God, we no longer with that sin anymore. Because when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, he forgives those sins. Because until we go to Jesus, we all walk with sin in our lives. Yes, we are born with that evil. We're born with that evil man in us. And we'll walk and follow him and in the things of this world until we go to Jesus. And if, when we go to Jesus, if we go in sincerity and in honesty, then he forgives those sins. Let me tell you something. When you go to him, if it's just with the lips and it don't come from the heart, you're not truly sorry for what you did. It don't work. But when you are truly sorry, he forgives that. And then your next step is to be baptized in his name, which most all of us know about that, but then you're still done. Because you need that baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that's another thing that is being mistaught today. Because we have those out there that are teaching that just because you went to Jesus and at the time you were baptized, you also automatically received the Holy Spirit then. That's not true. In fact, as I've told everyone before, out of all the years that I have been with the ministry and all, I have only seen that happen one time. Take that back. Twice. Because I keep forgetting one. You see, I baptized a lady that had been in church a long time. And her husband was a pastor. And yet, she had him call me to come and rebaptize her. And I did. And she was one that when she was baptized, she did receive it all. Now, and God let us see wonders and all that came through and out of that baptism. And then my brother in Florida was being baptized in the river that runs through the town of Newport Richey by a pastor there. And they went and walked down a boat ramp. He got to the depth that they wanted for the baptism. And just as he was laying him back in the water, there was this white cloud that came over my brother and followed him down to the water. It stopped at quarter. And as he was raised up out of that water, that cloud was waiting for him and raised with him as he come up out of that water. That is the only two times in all of my lifetime that I've ever seen everything take place at the same time. Because God doesn't give us something we won't use or something that we really don't understand. But you see, with those two, they had a lot of teaching and a lot of knowledge of God's word. And they was understanding exactly what happened. Now, we don't really stop and think a lot of times about our life, and are we living our lives the same way we were living before we went to Jesus? Because if we are, we need to go back and to do our first works over, as the word says. because something didn't take place. There is always a change in your life. Now, it may not be a great change, because we all have to grow, and that depends on how much time and how sincere you are in growing. Are you sincere enough to spend time every day in the Word of God? That's what you're told to do. His Word tells you that. Not just me. But that's what the Word of God tells you. To study His Word. And it don't say just read it. Just study. To show yourself approved, a workman worthy of his hire. And you'll see it even in other ways. But it all has the same meaning. And we all want to get to and enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And we have to do it as that little child. Now, oh, now, Pastor, you can't mean that. I can't? Well, let's see if God can. Whosoever. Here in 4, I had stopped there. I'm going to pick back up with there. Keep everything going as it should be. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now, when he's talking about a child here, and why he's telling you and I that we have to be as that child, is because when we are accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiven, we are as a young child. We know very little. And we have to grow from there. And that does take time. And we'll never, even, it doesn't matter how much time we put in with it, we'll never know it all. The day we step out of this life and into the next, we'll still not know it all. But we can have the knowledge and the wisdom of His Word to be able to do the work He calls on us to do and to make heaven our home. Then when we get home, the Word tells us, then we will know as we are known. You see, God knows all about us, each and every one of us. He knows about. You may hide things from man, but you don't hide nothing from God. Not a thing. Now, 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. We know that there's going to be things come against us. But when you are a child of God, those that come against you to do harm, the word said it was better for him that a millstone had been hung about his neck and that he would be drowned in the depths of the sea. So he's looking for a lot of trouble. We know that this world out here is full of offenses. But we don't want to be one to bring offense against anyone. No one. Now, 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. You see, we cannot let our members get us into trouble. And the only way that you and I can control this flesh is by the Holy Spirit. Without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we cannot really control this fleshly body. Oh, yeah, it'll only do what I want to do. Yeah. What does the leading? Where do your thoughts come from? Those evil thoughts. Where do they come from? They come because some part of the body has opened up to let them through. Now, 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We're not to be offensive. Now, if someone has done something to you or is doing things they shouldn't be doing, especially a brother, you go to him personally. You and he. And talk with him. We're getting ready to get into that here in just a few moments. So I'm going to stop right there with it, but I'm going to let you know it's coming. 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. You see, his coming into the world, he came for the purpose of saving the lost because we all were. And still, when you're born this day in the light, you are born with that old man's sin and you carry it until you go to the Lord Jesus Christ to get rid of it. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And yes, a shepherd, they would, because you see, you didn't drive sheep. Sheep follows. And when one would go astray, that shepherd would always go and find it, to look for it. Now, 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of 99 which went not astray. And you know, this is why that I keep telling everyone, when you help to lead one out of darkness and out of sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes saved, that one, according to the Word of God, is worth more than this whole world. That's God's Word, not mine. But that's God's Word. We'll be getting into that later on. Now, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want to see no one perish and miss heaven. That's not what he wants. But he gives us free will. We're not puppets or robots. We make choices. He gives us that choice, will to make choices. And we can choose how we want to spend our life. He tells us what will happen according to what we do and the way we live, but it's our choice. We can live the ways of this world out here, always putting the world before him, and then we step out of this life and go to hell. Don't blame him, because he told you how to get where he is and to stay out of hell. But you know something that's even worse than that? Even when those that make hell their dwelling place, eventually is looking at a place worse than that. Because after the Lord comes back to this earth, sets up his kingdom 1,000 years. 1,000 years he's going to be king here on this earth. And all of those that has went on to be with him will be coming back with him and will be spending that 1,000 years with him here on this earth. But at the end of that, as what the Word tells us, is the great white throne judgment. And all that has not made heaven their home, all that is in hell, Satan and his demons and all, and hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the word says, the worm never dies. And never no way out. You see, what will your choice be? What are you going to choose? And what are you willing to trade for it? You think about the pain of that lake of fire and never ending and no way ever out. Too many of our mankind has gotten the idea that when they die, they just don't exist anymore. That's not right. Don't ever believe that. But if you do, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I was speaking about that just a little earlier, if you remember. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now, if he listens, you know, says you've gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. You go back to him again, but this time you take one or two more with you. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And you talk to him again, trying to get things straight. Now, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And if he happens to be a brother and a church member, and he will not straighten out after the church talking with him, then you put him out. They call it being excommunicated. Now, but you see, you get in every chance things right. 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see the kind of power that we have gotten? That's the kind of power God has given you and I to deal with. When you look around us today, we're not seeing that power used in our churches, are we? But God put it there. He said so. And if you think he didn't say he put it there, come with me over to 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. Oh, 12th chapter. Going to the 12th chapter. We begin here now with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Once you become that child of God, you see what he's saying. 28. And God has set some in the church. This is what's supposed to be in the church today. And you tell me what church you've ever been in that you have found this in, our ministry that you have found this in. 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. What did he put in there? I just read it to you. But yet, go on, 29, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know, actually, you can carry each and every one of these. But then he tells you that there is a more excellent way, even. Tells you in 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. And we find out what that more excellent way is in the very first verse of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Charity. This charity he's talking about is love. The love of Almighty God that is to be in each and every one of us. 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. When two of the children of God shall come together in agreement. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, what name? The name of Jesus. There am I in the midst of them. Because you see, the thing about that is, he is in each and every child of God. And so is the Holy Spirit, and so is the Father. We'll be getting into that just a little later on, too. Now, but he's letting you know that he is there. Most of the time, we just don't look for him. But you see, they live in you. If you are a child of God, they are always there. We don't stop and think about that as we go through our day. But that's also why that we are to give ourselves completely to him. They are always with us. If they hadn't have been, I wouldn't have been here today. I would have left this world a long, long, long way back. They hadn't have been with me, I would have left this world in 1966. I was sent home to die within 2 days from the hospital. Put to bed, had to be turned with a sheet. I couldn't even turn over by myself. But they walked in, got me by the hand, stood me before the throne. I heard my Savior intercede for me. And I was taken back and put back into a complete healed body. All happened within an hour and a half. An hour and a half after being put to bed in that kind of shape. Happened to have somebody turn me with a sheet. I'm sitting in the living room talking to my mother and dad because they'd been called because my wife and my brother couldn't find no heartbeat or no pulse. I was dead to them. And I was. I wasn't there. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, I was on a ladder painting the doctor's house that sent me home to die. And he threw a fit. You can talk to him today and ask him, tell him you know me. And he'll tell you why that little man's alive. I just don't know. He does, because I told him. But all that done made him mad. Now, I think we're going to stop here. We still got a lot to go through. We don't have much time left. And this will be a good place to stop. We can pick up here in the morning at 10 a.m. to finish out chapter 18. Because we're going to be talking a whole lot about forgiveness and things of that nature. I'm going to go ahead with it. So just stick with me. 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490 times a day to forgive him. That means you don't never go without being forgiven and forgiving someone else. 23, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. 24, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. He's going to give you a pretty good example of what he's talking about here in forgiveness. 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. See, back then when you owed somebody, they'd sell you. They could sell you and your whole family and everything. And you're going to become a slave somewhere. 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He forgave us. He didn't just turn him loose. He forgave him the debt. He don't owe him no more. 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He had been forgiven all of that big debt, but he couldn't forgive one that owed him. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now they went and talked to the man that forgave them all of his. They went and told him about it. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, he was angry with him, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now he's took it all back, because he would not have compassion. 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. We are not to hold a grudge against anyone or anything. And if we do, he just told us here what our Father will do. So likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses, he's not going to forgive you either. That is the word of God. Not my word, but his word. I just read it too. We are at the end of chapter 18. And we're going to stop over with our study at this time. And God willing, in the morning, 10 a.m., we can be in chapter 19. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can be with each other and in your word. We may not all be in one place, Father. And I know that distance doesn't mean anything when it comes to your word and to you, because you're with us all wherever we are. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in this world, pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, I pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours, a land that you had richly blessed, without any excuse other whatsoever. Evil ones got into our government and has brought so much evil upon our people. I pray, Father, that all of your children in this land is praying for them to be removed and to be replaced by your children that are walking in righteousness, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves you and loves the church, and loves your people and this country, and work with us to bring this land to repentance. Oh, Father, bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, to those that have made themselves through the Lord Jesus Christ a member of this ministry, Father, I'm praying for them. For Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, and Jacob's young friends, Father, that they all will grow close, and that you keep them in health, keep them safe, and that they will walk daily with you to be the child that you want each to be. And Father, for Mary, Bobby Johnson, be with them, Father, keeping them in health and safety, and seeing to their needs, and myself, Father, and each and every one of us, our families. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within our families, teaching, speaking, and working with those that are walking in darkness, and help to lead them out of darkness and into the light, that light being Jesus, so that none of our families be lost, Father, and all can make heaven their home. Father, keep us through this evening and through the night. Now, Father, bring us back together again in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. This, Father, is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Be careful out there. And have a great night. Good evening, everyone.